salvation, Jesus paid it all. Presented by Calvary Church, freedomabq.com.
You're listening to The Light, KLYT Albuquerque, Santa Fe. Rebroadcast on KNKT Cannon Air Force Base, K201CC Las Cruces, K228DQ Portales, and worldwide at KLYT.FM. From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
If you have plans to do anything in this hour, make sure to come back and listen to the entire hour. The second half of today's show, we're going to be visiting with Rabbi Kurt Schneider, self-proclaimed Jewish believer in Jesus. And we'll talk about the Taking the Rainbow Back campaign that he's a part of. We'll introduce you to him, and we'll find out more about that in the second half of the show. In the first half of today's show, I'm introducing you to someone I don't believe, Jody Hendricks, the executive director for New Mexico Family Action Movement. Jody, I don't believe you've ever been on ABQ Connect, have you?
No, this is the first time. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. And we're going to be talking some today about the referendum that we've had several broadcasts on, and trying to educate and encourage people to take the information and pray about it and do what they feel is best to do. And their decision is whether or not they're going to participate. We're going to get to that in our second segment today. But on the referendum today, probably a little bit more on what we're getting as far as pushback from local officials, and really specificity on how we can be praying for what's happening in our state.
Yes.
With that, Jody, again, welcome onto the broadcast. I do want to give you opportunity, for those not familiar with the New Mexico Family Action Movement. I keep wanting to say Policy Council, because I think that dates myself a little bit, doesn't
it? Sure does.
And for those who would wonder what I'm talking about, I'll let you fill them in.
Yeah. So we are New Mexico Family Action Movement. We are a faith-based nonprofit organization here in New Mexico, and we focus on helping the family. What we do is we work in policy, we work to protect family values, we work to protect biblical values in our policy that we see going through Santa Fe. And so we write policy, we help legislators prepare policy, and we help defend against policy that would be detrimental to our biblical values and our family values. And so this last session, of course, we were very busy in Santa Fe. We had a lot to do. But how we came about here in New Mexico is we actually started as Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. That might be more of a familiar name than our new name, New Mexico FAM. What that is a family policy council, like you said. And that is a group that is in alliance with the national group, Family Policy Alliance. The Family Policy Alliance started as the policy group in focus on the family. And then over time, they grew so big that they separated into a separate entity. And Family Policy Alliance is the national group that focuses on national level issues and trying to help believers and each state know what's going on at a national level and how they can be involved. How can they unleash biblical citizenship? But then the national group helps states to be able to start groups that focus just on the state level and what's happening specifically in their state. And that is how we began as Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. You might remember Vince Torres. He was our fearless leader as Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Yeah,
we had him on just a couple months ago promoting the Christian school.
Yes.
He and his wife head up in Santa Fe.
Yes.
So we're always happy to have Vince on. It's kind of an open door policy with Vince. If he needs to talk about something, it's usually something we all want to know about.
That's right. Vince is a very valuable resource for me. I'm constantly calling up there. Hey, help me out here. So he was the one that kind of revived the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico here several years ago. And then I came in 2021 and took the position of executive director as Vince stepped into his role in Santa Fe now as the chief of staff for the Senate Republicans. I came into Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. And just as, you know, a kid grows up and mom and dad send them off to college, that's kind of what FPA, Family Policy Alliance, does for the state groups. Once the state group has kind of been able to find their foundation, get their organization up and running, and begin to find funding within the state, then they send them off to college and they let us become an independent organization outside of the umbrella, but still in alliance. So we are the only group in New Mexico that is an ally with Family Policy Alliance.
Okay. Now, and I asked this, and I have to wonder if some of our listeners wonder, because you mentioned about the history and its connection to Focus on the Family. And actually, in our conversation off the air, I mentioned Gary Bauer, a name that many of our listeners will remember. Maybe Tony Perkins. Anyway, from Focus on the Family years ago, these guys were always on. And there was, you know, each state had their own representative that was connected to Focus. Now that it's changed and grown,
yes.
Like you said, part of the what I wasn't sure of, quite honestly, because as I was preparing for other things today, I didn't take the time to go through the whole website, which, by the way, is real easy to remember, nmfam.org. Then the FAM, of course, Family Action Movement, but NMFAM, I love that family connection, nmfam.org. We'll mention it a few times so you can find it. But yeah, if you go on the website, you'll find the vision and the fact that it is a faith-based, a Christian-based organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the most important things that we do, everything, in fact, that we do is based on biblical values. So when we're talking about working in policy to protect our families, to protect our biblical values, it is all about what does God line out for us in His Word as values that we as believers should be living by, and how is policy going to affect those? How is policy offending those?
Yeah.
How is policy upholding those? And that is where we step in to say, you know, this is policy that's good. It allows, it protects our biblical values. It promotes maybe even our biblical values. Or is it policy that is really detrimental to our biblical values?
You know, I remember months ago, I was, we were having the show and we had someone on the show. You could say we were talking politics. We're probably talking more policy. I can't do so much of that. It's so divisive.
Mm.
And I get that. I get that. And I try to be sensitive to that with the listener. And I think it's important for the listener to know that me personally, I mean, I host the show most of the time. My primary goal is sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he said, I delivered to you as of first importance, depending on where you read it, primarily, first of all, the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is important that as Christians, we keep that primary.
Correct.
That doesn't Absolutely. Mean that, you know, shortly after the conversation I had a few months ago, I was working in my office here, had this great radio station on the air, listening to the different pastors all day. I have to tell you, I'm blessed. But I heard one of the pastors say, people ask, why should Christians be involved in politics? And he asked that question. He said, I'll tell you why. Policy. And I was like, there you go. The other thing I thought of after that comment was divisive. The gospel's kind of divisive.
It sure is.
Now, that being said, we're going to talk about this with our next guest today. As we get involved in policy making and discussions and politics, it is important as believers that we are ambassadors,
mm-hmm.
And that love and peace are important. And something else I tell friends when we talk about this often is, you know, and maybe it's the gray hair, you know, but as I get older and having raised a tribe of kids, we had six kids, you don't, and I was, you know, I'll tell you, when I was a young man, there's times I was a real angry young man. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to be angry or mean mm-hmm. or nasty to be right.
That's right. That's right.
You can share the truth in love. I get it. I finally get it. You know, as I visit with organizations like yours, the New Mexico Family Action Movement, or other groups that we have on the air, I'm just so impressed by how many of the people that are leading these groups are able to rub elbows with people with totally contrary beliefs than ours, mm-hmm. Remain kind.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it?
Well, honestly, I remember, first of all, who am I? And I am a sinner. I have been saved by the grace of Jesus. And so who am I to pass judgment on other people? Now, I don't have to approve of what they're doing. I don't have to make them feel good about what they're doing, but I can be firm in the fact that I disagree, but yet I can still love people because Jesus showed us that we need to love people.
And for those who might be listening, who hear you say, not judge, say, well, no, I am. Well, go read Romans 14. Who are you to judge another's servant?
Mm-hmm.
That was real convicting for me as a young man when the Spirit used that. I mean, the Word of God, it's alive and active.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So much appreciate what, you know, you mentioned Vince had done over the years ago, and he's moved on to other things. Still has, you know, dabbles in the roundhouse and ministry in Santa Fe. Talk about Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Vince. And now, Jody, what you're doing as the executive director at New Mexico Family Action Movement, let's draw the listener to the organization. What's the best way for them to find out more, and how nmfam.org might be able to assist our listeners and their families?
Yes, absolutely. So New Mexico FAM, of course, is an organization that has a vision. And that vision is to see New Mexico become a state where God is honored, where life is cherished, where families thrive, and where religious freedom flourishes. And so when you visit our website, you're going to see that that is what we're about. Everything that we do, every piece of that vision statement comes back to honoring the Lord and honoring the life that He's given us and the family unit that He created and our freedoms to be able to operate within our faith beliefs. And so on our website, which is www.nmfam.org, you're going to be able to see all about us, first of all, understand who we are and what we're doing. You're going to find a page where you can look at our vision, and we break down each piece of that vision statement. What is it to be a state that honors God? What does it mean to cherish life, to see families thrive, and to see religious freedom flourish? And why is it so important based on the Bible? Where does it come from in Scripture? Because that, without that, it doesn't mean anything for us. And so our vision, of course, is based on Scripture, and you're going to see that. So that's going to give you an understanding of who we are and maybe help you as a believer understand why it is so important to be engaged in the civic process, to be engaged in government, in policy, and what is happening in our state. And the more engaged you are, we call that unleashing biblical citizenship.
Hmm.
Because as a believer, you do have a responsibility to stand firm and take action, as we see in Daniel. And so this understanding of who we are and what we're doing is going to help you maybe understand why it's so important to be engaged. But then more specifically with what's going on right now, there's so much going on right now in New Mexico. And a lot of times people are saying, I had no idea. I had no idea that this was happening. Well, we have created an opportunity on our website for you to be in the loop so that you know what's going on.
And we're going to walk through that in our next segment. We're up against a break. Before we go to the break, I do want to say something about some of the things you were just saying. All of us should pray about our involvement. I the thought crossed my mind, those parents with kiddos, they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
We want good things. We love the next generation, and we want to see good things happen in New Mexico and in the world in the next generation. Let's train them up and show them how we can do this in a godly way. We're going to talk more, though, about the referendum project and some of the pushback that is being found, and hopefully some encouragement for you as we continue our conversation with Jody Hendricks, the Executive Director of New Mexico Family Action Movement. The website is nmfam.org. We'll be back with more after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right, welcome back onto the broadcast. We're in the middle of a conversation with Jody Hendricks, the Executive Director at New Mexico Family Action Movement. And in our first segment, we introduced you to Jody and the organization. Some of you may be already familiar with, but nmfam.org on the web to get all that information. Now, when you go there, just like when you go to Better Together New Mexico website, you click on Referendum Project, and you'll find information about a lot of the things we've talked about. And actually, Jody, let's run through just like a thumbnail what each of these are.
Okay.
And then what walls are we running up against with the referendum and petition signing? Okay. HB7.
HB7, I'm going to try to put it down into a one-liner for you. Basically, what it did is created unrestricted access to abortion and transgender services across New Mexico. But the really dangerous part of that bill is that there is no age requirement. That means that this is now available to our minors. And there was no requirement for parental notification, which means our children can be given these services, can these procedures. They can be led on a path towards these procedures, and the parent is never involved.
Okay, SB 13.
This bill protects those who are providing or receiving these services that were outlined in House Bill 7. But the really dangerous thing here, which comes back to parental rights, is the fact that it also protects those who would take our minors to receive, transport our minors to receive these services without the parent knowing.
Let's move on. SB 397.
SB 397 basically takes the services of HB 7, the protections of SB 13, and places it on school campus or within walking distance with no parental notification required.
Parents, are you listening and taking notes?
This is dangerous stuff.
All right. HB 4.
HB 4 made changes to our voting rights at allowing people to vote who normally would not be allowed to vote. And it changed some processes in our voting process that make our elections vulnerable to fraud.
SB 180.
SB 180 is a monster of a bill. It's about 180 pages. But bottom line, what you need to know is SB 180 takes away the people's rights to assure the security of the elections. The people now have no power to secure the elections.
Okay, before we move on to the last one, these last two, I know there's some people that are like, okay, the four that are dealing with issues that clearly are morally contrary to what I believe, the importance of these two that deal with election, they really are connected.
They really are, because if we cannot protect our elections and maintain integrity in our elections, then all the fighting that we're doing to protect our families in these other areas is going to be for nothing, because we won't have fair or secure or transparent elections to verify things are happening fairly.
And we're going to revisit that word fairly here in just a minute. HB 207.
HB 207 was an expansion of the Human Rights Act, which included extra identifiers in non-discrimination efforts, those identifiers to include sexual orientation and gender identity. The real danger here with this bill was that it applies to our religious public contractors. So consider a public contractor is anyone who contracts with the state to provide a service. Religious contractors, public contractors, let's say a faith-based daycare, or we have a faith-based foster placement system, or something that is faith-based contracting to provide a service. Well, let's take that faith-based daycare. Let's say that according to their religious beliefs, they do not agree with transgenderism. Let's say a transgender individual comes and applies to work at that daycare. That daycare, that faith-based daycare, mm-hmm. cannot make a decision on that employment based on their religious value.
Okay, so that in a nutshell, stuff we've talked about routinely for the last several weeks since the end of the legislative session. And another reminder, those aren't maybe going to happen. Those have all been passed and are law and will begin to be enacted, what, June 16th?
I believe sometime before July, because June 16th is our deadline to get our petitions submitted.
Okay, so the referendum and the petitions, what they do in essence... by signing a petition, each one of these laws that just were passed in the legislature, they have their own petitions, and there's so many signatures that are needed in order to get that on the ballot so the voters of New Mexico can themselves, without the legislator speaking for them, have an opportunity to vote and say where they want, you know, what they want to have happen with mm-hmm. each of these laws that have been passed. Okay. We've covered all that. I kind of wanted to run through that because we've done it several times. Now, prayer is needed mm-hmm. because, believe it or not, the grassroots movement trying to get this done is really running into some roadblocks. Mm-hmm. And we've got probably about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So I'll let you kind of walk us through that, what's happening, and how our listeners can either take action. One of those actions, prayer. Mm-hmm. What can they do?
Okay, so you may have heard in the news some very misleading claims from the Secretary of State lately that have really concerned people about the referendum process. So I just want to clear some of those things up. One of the things that the Secretary of State is trying to do is dishearten us in saying that our forms are invalid, that these petitions that are circulating are invalid. That is untrue. Unfortunately, the Secretary of State took way more time than she was supposed to in getting us an approved form. So when we first submitted our forms to the Secretary of State, all we were doing is submitting them to say, is this form correct? That's her power. And she wasted a lot of time, unfortunately, but then finally did give us an approved example form. All of our forms meet the requirements based on that approved example. Therefore, the forms that we are circulating are valid. Now, the other thing that she's trying to say is that this referendum process is all for nothing because these bills don't qualify for the referendum process. Based on the Constitution, there are some exemptions to the bills that would be able to be set aside and not qualify for the referendum process. One of those things is any bill that is for the preservation of the public peace, health, or safety. If a bill is for the preservation of public peace, health, and safety, it does not qualify for the referendum process. She is trying to say that these bills meet that qualification and therefore the referendum process doesn't apply here. This is incorrect. Please hear this. It is incorrect. Two problems with the Secretary of State saying this. First of all, she does not have the authority to make that designation for a bill. Based on our state government, separation of powers, only the legislature can make the designation of the preservation of public peace, health, and safety, not the Secretary of State. Therefore, she's overstepping her authority there. Secondly, if these bills were to be for the preservation of public peace, health, and safety designated by the legislature, these bills would have to have three essential elements. First of all, they would have to have all been voted in with a two-thirds majority vote in each chamber. That did not happen on any of these bills. The other requirements for the designation here for public peace, health, and safety is that the law must be effective immediately upon passage and approval, which means that would have had to have been stated during the legislative session saying these are for the designation of preservation of public health and safety. They're going into effect immediately. That did not happen on any of these bills. And the third essential element is that the law must state in a separate section of that bill, an emergency clause section, that the law is necessary for the preservation of public peace, health, and safety. It has to have those words. And it has to say in the bill that it would take effect immediately. Again, none of these bills contain that essential element. So when the Secretary of State is trying to stop us or to dissuade people because these bills don't qualify, it is incorrect. Therefore, they do qualify. The legislature did not deem them for preservation of the public peace, health, and safety. They do not contain these essential elements. So they are absolutely qualified to put into referendum.
All right. Well, I know we flew right through that. I do want to let the listener know a little story about how Jody made it into studio today. I actually got your newsletter in an email, and it included on it was a phone number, which I called, and Jody doesn't have my phone number, so it was hello. And we just met today, but when I read the newsletter that has that information you just shared,
yes,
I said, got to get Jody on the show today. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Now, for those that were trying to keep up, because we went pretty quick.
Yes.
If someone does have a question, what would you encourage them to do?
So you can reach out to us through our website. There is a contact option on there, and you can contact us through that email option and ask your questions, and we will respond to you as quickly as we can. You can also subscribe to our newsletter so that you're getting all of the updates as we send them out. And then also, if you want to read today's newsletter that you were just talking about, it will be up on our website here pretty soon, but it is already on our Facebook. So if you follow us on Facebook, easiest way to do that, again, go to our website and you'll be able to see that little Facebook icon. You can click on it. It'll take you to our Facebook page.
Okay.
And our newsletter is there already.
Okay. So if you go to the website, Facebook, is that at the bottom of the page?
Yes, on the front page, on that home page, you'll find a social, our social media.
Okay. And the website again, I know I hear you. You're out there. What's the website? Well, we gave it a few times. We're going to give it again. Here it is. It's nmfam.org. That's for New Mexico Family Action Movement. nmfam.org. Homepage, go to the very bottom and you'll see the social media there. Will they find it on the other social medias right now, or Facebook's a good place to go?
They'll find it on Instagram and Twitter as well, but Facebook's going to be the best place to go so that you can click on that link to take you straight to the newsletter.
All right. Well, we've enjoyed time with Jody Hendricks. She's the executive director at New Mexico Family Action Movement, talking not only about the referendum today, but some of the walls we're coming up against, and really a call for prayer action. Make sure that the administration in Santa Fe knows where we stand on this. Mm-hmm. But thank you for your time, Jody. Will you come back?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Stay tuned. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to find out about taking the rainbow back. And yeah, it's probably exactly what you thought, maybe even better. We'll get to it after the break on ABQ Connect.